You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Following our previous conversation with Huhana Linden, we had a follow-up conversation with retired politics and international relations professor at the University of Auckland, Stephen Hoadley, about the recent US strikes on Iran and their potential impacts on oil prices and the global economy. Stefan says that should Iran close the Strait of Hormuz, through which a third of the world's natural gas and almost 25% of total global oil consumption travels, a massive spike in oil prices could be expected. We also spoke about the legality of the strikes themselves and their impacts on the region's building tensions. Can you tell us about the economic impacts that are likely to come about as a result of these strikes?
Well, the feared economic impact of the closure of the Hormuz Strait has not happened. That is, the Iranian parliament has authorized the Iranian leadership to close the strait, but the leadership has chosen not to do so. So the anticipated rise in oil prices has not happened. In fact, at the petrol pump, you may find that your petrol prices are stable, maybe even coming down slightly. The stock market is up. Consequently, the airstrikes, although they initially put the stock market down and the fuel prices up, Brent crude, for example, went up from $73 to $76 a barrel, and some were predicting $80 a barrel, even $100 a barrel. It hasn't happened. So the cessation of hostilities has transcended the airstrikes, and consequently, at the moment, we don't really fear any economic consequences.
Can you tell us about the Strait of Hormuz and why it's so important?
It's only 33 kilometers wide. It's about the size of the English Channel, for example, but much of it is shallows, and the shipping lanes in either direction are only 3 kilometers, and there are some 760 ships. Oil tankers, basically, and liquefied natural gas tankers and others in the Persian Gulf at any given time. Now, given the tensions between Israel and Iran, the number of ships has declined. It's now below 700. Many ships have declined to go into because they'd be afraid they would be bottled up. That is, the Straits of Hormuz is a cork in a bottle, and the Iranians can easily close it off with their fast patrol boats armed with heavy machine guns and RPGs. They've got short-range missiles. They've got artillery that can reach the strait from the shore of Iran. And they have their military methods to close off the straits. Well, so far it isn't happening. And that's the good news, is that the Iranians have exercised amazing restraint. They sent missiles to attack the Al Abeid air base in Doha, in Qatar, but they gave advance notice, and all of those missiles, save one, were shot down by interceptors. Yeah, the one that got through did not cause any damage. So Iranian pride is satisfied. They can now go to the negotiating table feeling that they have given tit for tat to the United States. And all this is very good news for my point of view.
If Iran was to hypothetically close the Strait of Hormuz in response to the growing regional tensions, would that be a violation of international law and international trade agreements?
Well, very good point, Otto. It would indeed. Look, the international law of the sea, the United Nations Law of the Sea Convention, designates international waterways. The Cook Strait, for example, is one. We could not close off the Cook Strait unless there were a dire emergency, and we would challenge international convention. So the Strait of Hormuz is an international waterway. It would be illegal, even though Oman and Iran together it's internal waters and territorial waters for those two countries. But international law would prohibit that. This is a waterway of benefit to all to all humankind, to innocent commerce. Particularly 20% of the world's oil and gas supplies pass through that very narrow strait. And certainly the Chinese government is bringing a certain amount of pressure to Iran to say, hang on a minute, look, 90% of our oil comes through that choke point to China. And if you close it off and Chinese ships or Chinese-bound ships cannot get through we're going to have a serious shortage of energy. So there's lots of pressure being brought to bear on the Iranians. And so far, they seem to be doing the prudent thing, which is to back off, to not continue the conflict. This allows the Israelis then to stop their bombardment and attacks of Iranian targets. And maybe we will have a few days of relative calm.
Regarding the strikes themselves, Trump has received criticism from both the Democrats and his own cabinet for initiating the strikes without congressional approval. Were these strikes unconstitutional under U.S. law?
No, they are legal under U.S. law. The commander-in-chief is the president. He can move the armed forces. He can use them any way he wants. Temporarily. Now, there is the War Powers Act. It was passed way back in the prior century. It allows, it obliges the president to report to the Congress, and Congress, after a cooling off period, can actually pass a resolution to stop the use of military force by the president. Well, that's never been invoked. The successive presidents have said it is not constitutional. It violates the Constitution in the sense that the president is the commander-in-chief of the armed forces. So Congress has never been successful. They have invoked it, but not successfully. And President Trump, of course, we know is bending the rules, is transcending the boundaries of congressional restraint, and it has no intention of ceasing to use initiatives in the military sense. So in that sense, the Democrats can complain. The Republicans remain cowardly silent on what their president is doing. And Donald Trump essentially has a free rein to do what he thinks he wants to do.
How likely is it that the current ceasefire between Israel and Iran will last?
I'm optimistic it will last for a while. Look, both sides have depleted their ammunition. The Iranians have used up their long-range artillery, their long-range missiles. The Israelis have used up their air defense missiles. Both will want to replenish and regroup and repair damage. And it's in the interest of both sides, because Netanyahu, I read this morning, has declared victory. He said, look, we've accomplished all of our objectives in Iran. We've stopped the nuclear program. I hope we can say a word about that in a minute. We've curbed Iran's military capacity and its ability to rain down rockets on Israel. So therefore, we're happy to, if the Iranians show restraint, we're happy to show restraint, and then some kind of peace talks, or at least stability talks will ensue from that. They have not yet begun. Neither side's agreed to it, but at least the missiles and the attacks have ceased, at least today, and we hope in the next few days, until diplomacy then can take hold and serious talks about where to go next can be initiated.
And going off of that, have these strikes brought an end to Iran's nuclear program, as Netanyahu seems to be claiming?
Brilliant question, Otto. And now I've got the New Zealand Herald in front of me for this morning, and I'm going to read a couple of phrases from it. And we start with, of course, Donald Trump completely obliterated. And that phrase then has been repeated by J.D. and Carolyn Leavitt, the spokesperson for the administration, and all of the Trumpists in the United States. On the other hand, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staffs has indicated, well, look, there's no real, that'll damage assessment will take days, even weeks. An expert says there's no real way to conduct a thorough damage assessment, that the centrifuges have probably significantly been damaged, but we don't know. Others have said that the program is set back maybe 2 or 3 years. This is the Israeli assessment. So, yes, we can say that there's been substantial delay to the nuclear program, but other experts are saying, look, the 400 kilograms of enriched uranium hexafluoride in gaseous form could be put into high-pressure containers and put it onto trucks and taken to secret sites, maybe even taken to Pakistan, which is friendly, one of the few friendly governments towards Iran and process further there. And so it is possible that within a year that Iran could have a nuclear explosive device. Whether it's battle ready, no. It will not be able to be militarized, to be put on a missile and sent to Israel. So we're still some ways away from that. So that's the big question everybody has. Where is that 400 kilograms of enriched, 60% enriched uranium gas? Can it be processed further, made into a fissile package, and can the Iranians achieve a nuclear explosion? So that's what we'll have to be talking about sometime in the future, Otto.
And that was Stefan Hoadley, a retired associate professor from the University of Auckland, talking to us about the recent U.S. strikes on Iran and their potential impacts on the global economy. We'll be right back after a quick break. Keep it on the B.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.